We're now moving to question time, Senator Hume.
Thank you, President. My question is to the Minister representing the Treasurer, Senator Farrell. Minister, how is the government lowering aggregate demand in the economy?
Senator Farrell.
Thank you, President, and thank you, Senator Hume, for her her question. I couldn't have said it any better, Senator. Oh no, I will take that. I will take that interjection, and let's go back in time a little bit. I know you hate. I hate this, but we inherited a $1 trillion debt. We inherited a $1 trillion debt, and what did we do? And we not only did we inherit a $1 trillion debt, we did, Senator Birmingham. I know you don't like it. I know you don't like us talking about your incompetent economic management. But not only did we inherit a $1 trillion debt, but we inherited a $70 billion deficit. And Senator Hume,
Senator Farrell, direct your comments to the chair.
Well, she asked the question with respect.
But you direct the comments to me.
And she'll ask me some more supplementary questions, and she won't have listened to my answer. And I just want to make sure. I just want to make sure that when I give the answer to this question, she.
Senator Farrell, Senator Birmingham.
President, on direct relevance, and this minister does it time and time again, in that he runs the clock down with endless waffle, endless diversionary tactics. He's had more than three.
The point of order
is on direct relevance.
Thank you.
He's had more than three quarters of the allocated time, and the words aggregate demand haven't passed his lip at all. Does he even know what it is?
Thank you, Senator Birmingham. I would remind senators, as I did yesterday, order. That if there are interjections, the minister is entitled to take those into consideration. But I will remind him of the question, Senator Birmingham. But if there aren't interjections, then we can focus on the question. Minister Farrell.
Well, thank you, President. Thank you for that clarification. But I answered your question in the very first answer I gave.
Minister Farrell, thank you. Senator Hume.
Thank you, President. Just on a point of order, on a clarification. An economist, Chris Richardson, said that the only people that would
Senator
use the
Hume.
Phrase $1 billion worth of debt are
Senator
either
Hume.
Ignorant or making
Senator
a political
Hume.
Point. My question,
Take
President,
no.
is which
Resume
one?
Resume your seat. Resume your seat. Senators across the chamber. Order. I would remind senators, if you are standing on a point of order, make sure it is a point of order and not a debatable point. Minister Farrell.
Thank you, President. Is that Senator Hume's first supplementary question?
Thank you, Minister. That time has expired. Senator McGrath, there's one of your own senators. Order. On her feet, waiting to ask your first supplementary. Thank you, Senator Hume.
Thank you, President. Minister, the cost of food has gone up by 8.2% over the last 15 months. What is the Albanese government doing to stop supermarket bills going up and up and up?
Thank you, Senator Hume. Minister Farrell.
Thank you, President. Well, we're putting downward pressure on inflation.
That's right.
One way we do that, of course, is provide a surplus. We've done that this year. With any, credit where credit due is, Senator. Senator Cash. I know you don't like that for the first time in 15 years a federal government has produced a surplus, but just producing that surplus itself puts downward pressure. Now, what have we done? What have we done about trying to help families who are struggling? These families are struggling with increased in food prices. Well, we're reducing the cost of childcare. We're reducing the cost of
thank
going.
Thank you, Minister. We're the reducing... time for answering has expired. Senator Hume, second supplementary.
President, can the minister explain how the Albanese Labor government's additional $188 billion in spending is putting downward pressure on inflation rather than upward?
Thank you, Senator Hume. Order on my right. Order on my right. Senators Watt and Green. Minister Farrell.
Well, I know. Thank you, President, and thank Senator Hume for her second supplementary question. Now, I know your opposition didn't support any of the moves that this government did. Yeah, no, that is a shame. That is a shame, Senator Brown. You didn't support any of the measures that this government proposed. To put downward pressure on inflation. You didn't support the reductions in childcare. You didn't support the measures to cap electricity prices.
What
are we doing? For the first time, you've had a government that's interested in pushing up wages. Remember what Matthias Cormann...
Thank you, Minister Farrell. The time for answering has expired. Senator Walsh.
Thank you, President. My question is to the Minister representing the Minister for Housing and Minister for Homelessness, Senator Farrell. The Albanese government is delivering on its wide-reaching housing agenda to boost housing supply for Australians who need it most. Can the minister update the Senate on the work the government is doing to deliver on its ambitious housing reform to improve the accessibility and affordability of housing for Australians?
Minister Farrell.
Thank you, President. Thanks, Senator Walsh. I know she's got a great interest in this this issue of housing and homelessness. The Albanese government's housing reforms are ambitious. After a decade of inaction, they have to be. They need to be. We are taking action to provide support for all Australians looking for a place to call home, home buyers, renters, and those looking for a safe space to spend the night. With every step of our agenda, we are improving access to safe and affordable homes for Australians through measures which include the $10 billion Housing Australia Future Fund, the $2 billion Social Housing Accelerator, the $2 billion in additional financing for community housing providers, a $1.7 billion one-year extension of the National Housing and Homelessness Agreement, and the boost to Commonwealth rent assistance. We're already seeking homes under construction thanks to the $575 million we unlocked from the National Housing Infrastructure Facility, and we've recently committed a further $1 billion to this facility to deliver even more homes. Just last week, the Albanese government, through the Housing Australia, announced its largest investment ever, providing more than $500 million in federal government support to build 1,370 new homes in Melbourne. This is what a government that's working for Australia looks like. That's working for renters, working for home owners, working so more for Australians can have a safe and affordable place to call home.
Thank you, Minister Farrell. Senator Walsh, first supplementary.
Thank you, President, and I thank the Minister for his answer. And it is encouraging to hear the government is investing in much-needed boost to the supply of social and affordable rental housing. Is the Minister able to provide an update to the Senate on what the Albanese government is doing to strengthen renters' rights?
Thank you, Senator Walsh. Minister Farrell.
Thank you, President. Thank Senator Walsh for her first supplementary question. And yes, I can, Senator Walsh. We were elected with an ambitious housing agenda. and it's been complemented by the significant steps that we are taking to strengthen renters' rights. Work by the states is underway on a better deal for renters, improving rental regulations through 9 agreed actions to improve conditions for renters. We have boosted Commonwealth rent assistance with the largest increase in 30 years. Alongside our reforms to increase the supply of new social and affordable rental homes, these measures will make a real difference to the lives of renters right across Australia, including the more than 680,000 renters in Senators Walsh's home state of Victoria.
Thank you, Mr. Farrell. The time for answering has expired. Senator Walsh, second supplementary.
Thank you, President, and I thank the Minister for providing that update. In addition to boosting the supply of housing and supporting those who are renting a home, what is the Albanese government doing to support more Australians into home ownership?
Thank you, Senator Walsh. Minister Farrell.
Thank you, President, and thank Senator Walsh for her second supplementary question. The Albanese government is not just boosting the supply of new homes, we're also helping people, Australians, buy their first homes. Our first home buyer guarantee has now helped more than 73,000 Australians into their first home, including more than 10,000 in regions through the regional first home buyer guarantee. And Senator Walsh, this includes more than 15,600 new homeowners across your state of Victoria helped into their homes by the home guarantee system. Our expanded home guarantees are good for young people, it's good for essential workers, and it's good for any Australian looking to buy their first home.
Thank you, Minister. Senator McGrath.
Thank you, President. My question is to the Minister representing the Prime Minister, Senator Farrell. Minister, what does the Albanese Labor government define as mortgage stress?
Thank you, Senator McGrath. Minister Farrell.
Thank you, President, and thank you, Senator McGrath, for your question. Look, this government understands the pressure that ordinary working Australians are under in terms of their mortgage, and that's especially so. That's especially so since the decision of the Independent Reserve Bank to increase interest rates by 0.25 basis points yesterday. What this government is trying to do is to help those people out by putting downward pressure on interest rates. And I can only say it so many times, Senator McGrath, but the reality is that the fact that we were able to deliver the first budget surplus in 15 years is one of the ways in which we are trying to help.
Minister Farrell, resume your seat. Senator McGrath.
On direct relevance, the question was very specific about how does the Albanese Labor government define mortgage stress. The minister has not gone anywhere near the definition of mortgage stress. I would ask you to draw him back to the question.
Thank you, and I will draw the minister to the question. Thank you, Senator McGrath. Minister Farrell.
Thank you. Thank you, President. Well, I will go there. I will go there because we do understand. We do understand that. Well, we do understand that Australians have.
Order.
We do understand that Australians.
Minister Farrell, please resume your seat. Senator Rustin, those constant interjections are disorderly. And I've just had Senator McGrath on his feet asking me to direct the minister to the question, which I did do. But you also know that your interjections can also be something the minister responds to. So you can't have it both ways, and I've asked you to discontinue interjecting, Minister Farrell.
No, I don't. With all due respect, Senator Birmingham, I don't need time. I understand. I understand. Well,
Senator Cash.
Well, I. I do answer your questions. I answer your questions. Now, you may not like the way I answer your questions.
Minister Farrell, please resume your seat. Order across the chamber. Senator Cash, I've just called order. That includes you. Senator Birmingham.
President, point of order on direct relevance. And yes, interjections may occur in the chamber. I, as a minister, answered plenty of questions with interjections occurring across the chamber. You still answer the question. If it would help the minister, perhaps you could read the highlighted
Senator
words from
Birmingham.
Wayne Swan.
Senator
mortgage
Birmingham.
Stress is when households are paying
Senator
more than 30% of their income.
Yeah.
Try reading it out, Don.
Order. 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 Senator Jacconi. Order across the chamber. Just a moment, Senator Farrell. Senator Birmingham, stunts are also out of order. I have directed the minister to the question. Order. 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 Senator Birmingham, I'm responding to your point of order. What you did as a minister is, you know, your choice. If there are interjections, if there were interjections, ministers can choose to ignore them, as obviously you did, or they can choose to answer them. The chamber, nevertheless, should be listening in silence. Minister Farrell, please continue. Senator O'Neill.
President, just in light of the way in which the Senate
Senator,
has—
why are you on your feet?
A point of order.
Order. Senator O'Neill, you have a point of order, please.
A point of order, because there has been debate about standards today, and my point of order goes to the standard of making a speech about standards and then physically throwing a document across the table.
Senator O'Neill.
It's inappropriate.
Senator O'Neill.
Senator should apologise.
Order.
Inappropriate.
Order across the chamber. Order. Order. Senator O'Neill. Senator O'Neill, you are not running this chamber. I am. I have addressed that issue. There was not a point of order there, and I'm going to go back to Senator Farrell and ask him to direct his answer to the question. Thank you, Senator Farrell.
Thank you, President. Look, if you want to answer your own questions, then why bother to ask me the questions?
Senator McGrath, first supplementary.
Thank you. Minister, how many Australian households are currently experiencing mortgage stress, and how many more will as a result of yet another interest rate increase under Labor?
Thank you, Senator McGrath. Minister Farrell.
Thank you, President, and thank Senator McGrath for his first supplementary questions. Look, I don't think I can make it any clearer than I've already made, Senator McGrath. We understand
Minister Farrell, please resume your seat. Senator Scar, I think that was. I would ask you to withdraw that personal reflection.
Withdraw.
Thank you. Minister Farrell, please continue.
I actually didn't hear it, so but thank you for give us a break. Look, Senator McGrath, we do understand the pressure that ordinary Australians are under as a result of these rising interest rates. If you hadn't mismanaged the economy so badly under the 9 years that you were part of the former...
Senator McGrath?
Point of order on direct relevance. The question, once again, was very tightly written, and it goes to how many households are currently experiencing mortgage stress. So asking for a number. The minister is not going near that question. I'd ask you to direct him back to the question, please.
Thank you, Senator McGrath. I will direct the minister to the question, Minister.
Thank you, President. Well, I can only reiterate time and time again. We understand the problem of higher interest rates. We understand.
Order.
We understand. We understand the problem. We understand the problem. We're seeking to do things in the economy that we have control
Minister,
of.
Minister, thank you. The time has expired. Senator McGrath, second supplementary.
Thank you, Minister. Does the Albanese Labor government accept responsibility for increasing mortgage stress, and will it apologise to those Australian households?
Thank you, Senator McGrath. Minister Farrell.
Well, thank you, President. I think it's worthwhile noting that, of course, the Reserve Bank is an independent organisation. It's an independent organisation in this country. It was an independent organisation when you were in government, and it's an independent organisation when we are in government, and we aren't proposing to change that situation. The decisions that they make are the decisions of an independent organisation. They are not in the control.
Senator McGrath?
I'm reluctant to do this, but point of order on direct relevance. The question once again was very tightly written and asked whether the government accepted responsibility and whether it would apologise. And I would ask if you could direct the minister back to answering the question, particularly in relation to the apology.
I think in that regard, Senator McGrath, the minister is being relevant because he's made reference to other bodies that are responsible. Minister Farrell? Senator Birmingham.
I'm not sure what's got into Senator Birmingham today, but he is now interrupting constantly in respect of every answer that I give.
Thank you, Minister Farrell. The time for answering has expired. Senator Waters.
Thank you very much, President. My question is to the Minister representing the Prime Minister. The murders of five women in just 10 days is a tragic reminder that domestic, family and sexual violence remains a national crisis. It's now 46 women who've been killed by violence in 2023. Records kept not by the government, as I believe they should be, as we do for the road toll, but kept by a volunteer organisation called Counting Dead Women. What has been made clear from the tragedies of the past few weeks is that the current approach is not working. Will the government convene a national cabinet meeting to coordinate a national response to combat domestic, family and sexual violence? And if so, will you champion in national cabinet and commit to funding a national real-time toll of women killed by violence?
Thank you, Senator Waters. Minister Farrell.
Thank you, President, and thank you, Senator Waters, for her question. Well, domestic violence is a serious issue in this country. This government understands just how important that issue is, particularly for women in this country. Regrettably, there's no easy solutions to the problem, but this government is obviously happy to look at any measures that we can do that we believe can successfully reduce the incidence of domestic violence in this country. This government has been doing a range of things in this space. And we will continue to focus on the issue. We want to eliminate domestic violence from our society. I know that's a big call, but we want to make progress on the issue. We'll do whatever we can to reduce the incidence of domestic violence, and we're happy to work with you, Senator Waters. And anybody in this place to progress the issue of reducing domestic violence.
Thank you, Minister Farrell. Senator Waters, first supplementary.
Thanks very much, President. The women's safety sector has long called for $1 billion a year in funding for frontline support services to meet demand and to ensure that everyone who seeks help fleeing violence can get it. In budget estimates this year, the department confirmed that the government is spending half of that amount over the forward estimates. Why is the government only providing half of what the sector has repeatedly called for when so many women are being murdered?
Thank you, Senator Waters. Minister Farrell.
Thank you, President, and thank Senator Waters for her first supplementary question. The safety of women and children experiencing family and domestic and sexual violence is a priority of the Albanese government. family and domestic violence does destroy lives, and one life lost is one life too many, and we want it to end. I don't think you're accurately reflecting the spending of this government in respect of this issue. In just our first two budgets...
Minister Farrell, please resume your seat. Senator Waters.
So, reluctantly, point of order, President. The department confirmed that the spending was less than half of the $1 billion the sector has asked for.
Thank you, Senator Waters, but that is a debating point. Minister Farrell.
Thank you, President. In just our first two budgets, we've made record investment of $2.3 billion in women's safety, which is currently being delivered to services and support. Now, we believe that that's making a tangible difference for women and children experience violence now, but will also support the critically important work of preventing violence before it starts.
Thank you, Minister. Senator Waters, second supplementary.
Thanks very much, President. Following the murder of Lily James, the former St Andrews School principal referred to the man who brutally murdered her as an absolute delight. We cannot keep framing men who kill women as good blokes who just snapped. What are the men in this government doing to transform harmful social norms and to stamp out the sexism and misogyny that breeds inequality and violence against women?
Thank you, Senator Waters. Minister Farrell.
Well, President, I completely reject any suggestion of links between what the person you referred to might have said and men in this place. I think all of my male colleagues understand just what a blight on society domestic violence is, and support all of the measures that the government is taking to try and address this issue. And I've just mentioned in my previous answer the $2.3 billion that we're spending in this space to try and end domestic violence before it begins. And I'm sure I speak for every single man in the Senate, and for that matter, every single man in the House of Representatives on the Labor side, that we completely reject domestic violence, and we will do whatever it takes.
Thank you, Minister Farrell. The time for answering has expired. Senator O'Neill.
Thank you very much, President. My question is to the Minister representing the Minister for Infrastructure, Transport, Regional Development and Local Development, Local Government, Senator Watt. The Albanese government was elected on the promise of cleaning up the mess of a decade of Liberal and National waste, rorts and chaos. Having been left with $1 trillion in debt, why is the independent review of the $120 billion infrastructure investment pipeline necessary?
Minister Watt.
Thank you, President. I'm glad the opposition are interested in this because I'm going to give them a few facts. By now, all Australians are familiar with the mess that was left behind after a decade of Liberal and National Party government. As Senator O'Neill has mentioned, $1 trillion in debt with nothing to show for it. The Coalition left behind a pipeline of infrastructure projects without adequate funding or resources, and in many cases without real benefits to the public. Those opposite announced projects without even checking if they were priorities for the states first, and this resulted in these projects being stalled for years or the costs continuing to blow out. Of course, what we learnt about the Liberals and Nationals is that they didn't care if there was funding to deliver a project. They didn't care if there was skilled labour available to deliver that project. As long as the project looked good on a colour-coded spreadsheet, that was enough for the opposition. Unlike the opposition, we commissioned an independent review because we are committed to delivering an infrastructure program, one that can actually be paid for and one that can actually be delivered. Now, it's important to note that the Albanese government will maintain the $120 billion dedicated towards the infrastructure program. All projects that are underway and all election commitments of our government are being honoured and will be honoured. But we need to be realistic that the Liberal and National Party's program, the colour-coded program, preferably royal blue, or what kind of green would it be? Bottle green for the National Party? Preferably those kind of projects. That program blew out by $33 billion, $33 billion of cost overruns, and it simply cannot be delivered in its current form. Under the former government, the number of infrastructure projects in the pipeline blew out from nearly 150 to 800. What a shame the former government's appetite for announcing projects wasn't matched with a commitment to deliver.
We will get this program working. Thank you, Minister Watt. The time for answering has expired. Senator O'Neill, first supplementary.
At the May budget, the Albanese government delivered a budget surplus for the first time in 15 years. What is the Albanese government doing to deliver on meaningful infrastructure projects while continuing to put downward pressure?
Please continue, Senator O'Neill.
What is the Albanese government doing to deliver on meaningful infrastructure projects while continuing to put downward pressure on inflation?
Thank you, Minister Watt.
Thank you very much, Senator O'Neill. The Albanese government's number one priority remains addressing the worldwide inflation and cost of living challenge. We have taken a number of steps since being elected. We have a targeted and comprehensive $23 billion 10-point plan to help address the cost of living pressures in our economy, including electricity bill relief, voted against by the opposition, cheaper childcare, opposed by the opposition, cheaper medicines, repeatedly voted against by the opposition, and increased rent assistance, opposed by the opposition. We've done all this at the same time as we've delivered the first budget surplus in 15 years, taking inflationary pressure out of the economy. We've seen wages grow around the fastest rate in a decade and over 560,000 jobs created since we came to office. We're now managing the infrastructure program as well to reduce inflationary pressure. And it is lucky that someone is concerned about inflation, because I saw today the Shadow Finance Minister, Senator Hume, after describing inflation as 1.2% as out of control.
She was reminded that inflation was almost twice that in the last quarter of the former government that she was a part of. Order across the chamber. Senator Hume. Order. Senator Hume. Order. Senator Henderson. Senator Brown. Minister Watt, I also remind you, when I call you that time's up, I expect you to sit down. Senator O'Neill, second supplementary.
Thank you, Minister Watt, for that comprehensive and accurately factual answer. Why is the Albanese government confident that this is the right approach to keeping downward pressure on inflation and managing the infrastructure pipeline?
Thank you, Senator O'Neill. Minister Watt.
Thank you, Senator O'Neill. Well, as I say, the Albanese government has a clear plan for managing inflation and cost of living pressures. Budget discipline, recording the first surplus in 15 years, cost of living relief and managing our infrastructure pipeline. But in contrast to the government's clear plan, those opposite can't even agree on whether we should spend more or less. Yesterday we had Senator Scar in question time, begging us and demanding us to spend less money in the economy, while at the same time we've got Senator McKenzie out there issuing press releases demanding more spending on infrastructure, more spending, less over here. Is it a Liberals versus Nationals thing, or are you just utterly confused about what to do about inflation in the economy? Senator Birmingham has called for proper spending discipline to avoid adding to inflation, but Mr Dutton, the opposition leader, wants to reinstate superannuation tax concessions for high-income earners, and he wants to build nuclear reactors everywhere around the country with more spending. Make up your minds. Are you for more spending or less spending? We're for managing inflation. We're for managing cost of living relief.
Order. Order. Senator Hume, I've called you a number of times. I would invite you at another time during the week to make a contribution, but not at question time. Senator Roberts.
Thank you, President. My question is to the Minister representing the Minister for Immigration, Citizenship and Multicultural Affairs, Senator Watt. With Labor embarking on the largest immigration program in Australian history, bringing in more than 500,000 people this year alone, more and more economists are warning these numbers are driving the inflation, hurting everyday Australian families. Following yesterday's 12th interest rate rise since Labor was elected, when will the government acknowledge they are completely wrong about high immigration and cut the numbers to sustainable levels?
Minister Watt. Senator McKenzie and Senator Smith, Senator Dean Smith.
Senator Smith, it's most unlike you. I'm very disappointed in you. Very disappointed. Thank you for the question, Senator Roberts. And I hear again, in response to your question, Senator McKenzie demanding more spending for infrastructure. So I guess we're back to spend more in the economy and drive up inflation. That's where the opposition is at today. No, Senator Rennick's jumping up and saying
Senator
no.
Watt.
The Liberals disagree.
Senator
okay.
Senator Watt, please resume your seat. Senator Roberts, I am going to direct the minister to your question, and I will remind those in here that the crossbenchers are entitled to be heard in silence and entitled to have their questions answered. They get less time than others in this place, and I would expect everyone to listen in respectful silence, Minister Watt, and refer to Senator Roberts' question.
Thank you, Senator Roberts. Well, I think I answered a very similar question from you the other day, Senator Roberts, and I did acknowledge that Australia's migration system, after 10 years of Liberal and National government, mainly overseen by the now opposition leader, Mr Dutton, is in utter disarray. We have acknowledged that, and I know that the minister...
Minister, please resume your seat. Senator Roberts.
Of relevance, President, I'm asking about when will he cut the numbers to sustainable levels?
Thank you, Senator Roberts. I will remind the minister of your question. Minister Watt.
Thank you, President, and thank you, Senator Roberts. It is important to put this in context, and we have acknowledged that the migration system that we inherited, overseen largely by Mr Dutton, the now opposition leader, is a mess. It is a completely broken system. And we have taken already a number of measures. I'm coming.
Minister Watt, please resume your seat. Senator Roberts.
When will they acknowledge they are completely wrong about immigration, high immigration, and cut the numbers to sustainable levels? That's simple.
Thank you, Senator Roberts. I believe the minister is going to your question, and I'll continue to listen carefully. Thank you. Minister Watt.
Thank you, President. And we have taken a number of measures already since being elected to fix the mess of the broken migration system we inherited. For example, this government has ended the pandemic event visa, which was being abused in some cases, in many cases. We have changed the previously unlimited working hours that were available for international students, a system that was engineered by the former government. And we've also made changes to work exemptions for working holiday visa holders. We've also increased the temporary skilled migration income threshold from $53,900 to $70,000, and that is the first increase in a decade.
Minister Watt, please resume your seat. Senator Roberts.
When will he deal with cutting the high numbers?
Senator Roberts, I think he's being relevant to your question. Thank you, Minister.
Well, Senator Roberts, it's up to you to choose whether you want to listen to my answer or not, but I've already outlined a number of measures that we have taken to fix the migration system, thoroughly broken, overseen by Mr Dutton, and to try to put in place a more manageable migration system and more manageable immigration numbers. We are conscious that this is an issue that needs to be addressed, and we'll keep working on it.
Thank you, Minister. The time for answering has expired. Senator Roberts' first supplementary.
Economic experts have for many months been calling for lower immigration levels to reduce the high demand causing the housing and rental crisis, forcing Australian families into homelessness and poverty. Minister, given that Labor's housing policy won't have any impact for 5 years, when will Labor admit its record immigration is the primary cause of the housing and rental crisis and act to lower immigration and allow Australians to put a roof over their heads, reduce rental costs and possibly own their own home?
Thank you, Senator Roberts. Minister Watt.
Thank you, President. Thank you, Senator Roberts. Well, as I say, I've already indicated a number of steps that the government has taken to make our migration system more manageable and to fix the mess that we inherited from the former government. Senator Roberts, I know that you're trying to draw a link between migration numbers and housing pressures, and it would have been nice if just once we could have had One Nation support for any of the housing measures that this government has put in place. Because if we know, of course, that you voted with the Coalition to oppose our $10 billion Housing Australia Future Fund, which won't take 5 years to start building houses. Senator Farrell has already talked today in answer to a question about the money that is already starting to flow to build homes under that program, which One Nation voted against, along with the Coalition. So if you're serious about wanting to have more housing in place for Australians, maybe next time we put up something about building more homes for Australians, then you might care to actually back it. We've also forwarded significant billions of dollars to the states and territories to get building homes right now. That's the source,
Thank you, Minister. That's the way we fix the housing crisis. The time for answering has expired. Senator Roberts, second supplementary.
Thank you. The world has been treated to footage of public demonstrations supporting Islamic terrorism at famous landmarks in Australia, as well as in this very chamber, a result of poor immigration control which has allowed radical, violent and extremist ideology to be imported here. Minister, When will Labor admit that immigration is out of control and act to ensure the safety and security of Australia by banning and deporting people who support Islamic terrorism?
Thank you, Senator Roberts. Minister Watt.
Well, Senator Roberts, I utterly reject the suggestion in your question that migrants are terrorists. I utterly reject that. You have sought to describe migrants as Islamic terrorists, and that is unjust
and
unfair.
Minister Watt, please resume your seat. Senator Roberts.
Impugning what I said, I did not say migrants are terrorists. I said Islamic extremists are terrorists.
Senator Roberts, the minister is being relevant to your question, and I'll continue to listen, Kevin. Order across the chamber. Minister Watt.
I'll let anyone go back and have a look at your question, Senator Roberts, and I think the implication is very clear about what you're trying to say and what you're trying to do. But this government, as well as fixing the migration system that was utterly broken under Mr Dutton and the opposition, we've also made very clear that we are committed to keeping the community safe from all forms of terrorism and violent extremism. The government's focus is addressing significant and emerging threats, such as the rise of nationalist and racist violent extremism and the increasing radicalisation of young people. The government keeps security laws under review in light of evolving threats, including those posed by right-wing extremists, and is committed to ensuring our laws remain appropriate and effective. We've introduced a comprehensive package of reforms to protect the community from those who seek
to
spread hate, whoever they may be.
Thank you, Minister. The time for answering has expired. Senator Colbeck.
Thank you, President. My question is to the Minister representing the Minister for the Environment. Can the Minister tell the Senate how many jobs depend on aquaculture on Tasmania's west coast and how many jobs will be lost if Minister Plibersek proceeds with her threats to pause or stop salmon farming in Macquarie Harbour?
Thank you, Senator Colbeck. Minister Watt.
Thank you, President, and thank you, Senator Colbeck. I'm very conscious, as the Minister for Agriculture, of the issue, Agriculture and Fisheries, of course, of the issues that Senator Colbeck is referring to, and I've been working very closely with Minister Plibersek around the issues relating to salmon farming on the west coast of Tasmania, and of course ensuring that the views and concerns of the salmon industry and the many people that who work for it are considered in any government decision making. I don't quite agree with the characterisation of Minister Plibersek's actions, Senator Colbeck, that you've put forward. I don't consider that she has made threats to close down the industry. What she's actually doing is observing a legal process at the moment. So there are a number of groups who have asked her and made a formal application for her to reconsider various environmental approvals that have previously been provided, and she has a legal obligation to consider that request, and that is what she is doing at the moment. But what you will also find is that Minister Plibersek and our government have actually provided significant amounts of funding in the millions of dollars.
Minister Watt, please resume your seat. Senator Colbeck.
Thank you, President. On direct relevance, I did ask the minister to advise the number of jobs at threat based on Minister Plibersek's threats, and they are genuine threats that were made in a letter by the minister to the Tasmanian Premier this week.
Senator Colbeck, the minister is being relevant to your question. Minister Watt.
Thank you, President. Thank you, Senator Colbeck. I've already acknowledged that there are significant numbers of workers in the salmon industry on the west coast of Tasmania, as there are across Tasmania as a whole. The interests of those workers and the companies they work for is something that is at the forefront of the government's mind. The reality is that Minister Plibersek now has received an application from a number of groups to reconsider those environmental approvals, and it wouldn't matter whether it was a Labor minister or a Liberal minister or a National Party minister, they are legally obliged to consider that request, and that is what Minister Plibersek is considering. But what I was attempting to say is that the government has already provided funding to support the salmon industry and reduce the oxygen levels
in
Macquarie Harbour.
Senator Colbeck, first supplementary.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, President. Doesn't need to have a prefix, just President. Thank you. I'm just trying to be polite. I'm just trying to be polite to the chair, Senator Stirl. I'm just trying to be polite to the chair.
Capable of making mistakes. Senator Colbeck quickly rectified it. Please. Senator Colbeck.
Thank you, President. Minister, given your answer, will you guarantee that not a single job will be lost on the West Coast as a result of any decision taken by the Minister for the Environment relating to salmon farming in Macquarie Harbour?
Thank you, Senator Colbeck. Minister Watt.
Thanks, President, and thanks, Senator Colbeck. Well, Senator Colbeck would remember from his time as a minister that ministers don't provide guarantees of the sort that he is requiring. I can remember many occasions when we attempted to get guarantees from ministers on various situations, including Senator Colbeck, and those guarantees weren't made and of course, can't be made. But what I can guarantee is that the Albanese government is a strong supporter of the salmon industry in Tasmania.
Order.
We're backing that up not just with words, but with funding. So Minister Plibersek has announced $2.1 million in Australian government funding to establish a captive breeding program to help the Maugean skate, something that the salmon industry requested that we do. We've also, through the Fisheries Research and Development Corporation and the Institute of Marine and Antarctic Studies, partnered with industry in a new initiative worth up to $6 million to stimulate dissolved oxygen levels in Macquarie Harbour. So we are taking action to work with the industry around the environmental issues that have been raised.
Thank you. Senator Colbeck, second supplementary.
Thank you, President. Salmon workers in Tasmania will be pleased to know there's no guarantees. Minister, Christmas is approaching. Australians are now further engulfed in Labor's cost of living crisis, yet Minister Plibersek is creating even more anxiety for Tasmanians with her inability to provide certainty to the thousands of workers collectively employed in the salmon industry in Tasmania, the MMG mine and the forestry sector. Minister, why will you not give... I'll take the interjection from the Greens,
you,
who just
Colbeck,
want to close the industry
time.
Down.
Senator
and
Colbeck,
guarantee their
Senator
job.
Senator Colbeck, the time for answering the question has expired. Minister Watt.
Thanks, President. Well, as I say, Senator Colbeck, it might seem strange, but ministers are required to follow the law. I know Scott Morrison, when he was the Prime Minister, went and created new portfolios for himself and found ways around the law. But, Senator Colbeck, I actually think you're a decent man. And I know that as the minister, you would have followed the law. And if these applications had been made to you as a minister, then you would have considered them in the way the law requires. So that's what's going on at the moment. But the government's support for the salmon industry can be seen not just from those investments that I've already mentioned, the $2.1 million to create a captive breeding program, the money that we're providing through the Fisheries Research and Development Corporation around dissolved oxygen levels, but we're actually an active partner in a national recovery team for the Maugean skate, which is about protecting that species but also attempting to keep the salmon industry going. So our credentials are very strong on this.
Thank you, Minister.
And we'll keep working on it.
Answering has expired. Senator Tyrrell.
Thank you, President. My question is for the Minister representing the Minister for Health and Aged Care, Senator Farrell. We're currently living through a mental health care crisis with closed books and long wait lists. The crisis is even more acute in rural and regional Australia. Last year, Tasmanians were twice as likely as their mainland counterparts to claim the Medicare rebate for an initial psychiatry appointment via telehealth. Tasmanians rely on telehealth to see a psychiatrist more than any other state or territory. Does the Minister agree that telehealth services are vitally important in helping manage the current healthcare crisis, especially for people in regional areas like Tasmania?
Thank you, Senator Tyrrell. Minister Farrell.
President, and thank you, Senator Tyrrell, for her question. Well, as a person who used telehealth quite a few times during the course of the COVID crisis, of course, it was a terrific service. As you know, from some of my earlier comments today, Senator Tyrrell, the Albanese government is committed to strengthening Medicare and to providing equitable access to ensure all Australians receive the care that they need, and that is especially the case in respect of the issue that you've raised, which is mental health. The recent budget, the Albanese government delivered $586.9 million to mental health, and this funding will extend critical services and address urgent gaps and workforce shortages. So there's a whole range of issues there in relation to access to mental health. An independent evaluation by the University of Melbourne found that the additional psychology sessions as part of the COVID Better Access package did not expand access to mental health support, and that the number of new patients accessing a psychology service declined.
Right, Senator Ruskin. The Albanese
government is committed to delivering equitable access to mental health support for all Australians, and that, of course, includes people in your home state of Tasmania, Senator Tyrrell. The additional better access sessions that were put in place temporarily during COVID exacerbated
inequality. Thank you, Minister. The time for answering has expired. Senator Tyrrell, first supplementary.
Thank you. The Medicare Review Advisory Committee is recommending stopping Medicare rebates for initial consults with a specialist via telehealth, including for psychiatry. What does the government have to say to Australians who will be forced to choose between $1,000 out of pocket to get immediate care via telehealth, or waiting over 12 months to see someone face-to-face just so they can get the rebate? And I hear that the mainland numbers went down, but Tasmanian numbers went up.
Thank you, Senator Tyrrell. Minister Farrell.
Thank you, President. Thank Senator Tyrrell for her first supplementary question. I think the fact of the matter is that this government is doing a whole range of things to try and rebuild the Medicare system, which was left in, I think, a terrible state as a result of the former government. Well, I'm trying, Senator Rustin. I am answering the question, and I'm talking
Minister
about.
Minister Farrell, please resume your seat. Senator Rustin, I called you. I expect you to come to order and stop being disrespectful. Minister Farrell, please continue.
Thank you, President. I know why Senator Rustin is so embarrassed about the former government's approach
Senator
to...
Senator Farrell, I'll bring you back to Senator Tyrrell's question. Senator Rustin. Minister Farrell, please continue.
Thank you, President. Look, we are rebuilding Medicare in this country. We continue to...
Thank you, Minister. The time for answering has expired. Senator Tyrrell, second supplementary.
So the Royal Australian and New Zealand College of Psychiatrists and the Australian Medical Association are against this recommendation. Will the government adopt the MRAC recommendation or instead listen to the concerns of psychiatrists and doctors who strongly oppose the removal of the vital service?
Thank you, Senator Tyrrell. Minister Farrell.
Thank you, President, and thanks, Senator Tyrrell, for her second supplementary question. Senator, in my experience, we have a very fine minister, in Minister Butler, a minister from South Australia, who does listen to experts, but more importantly, who does listen to the community. And what the community is telling Minister Butler is that they want us to rebuild the Medicare system, and that's what this government is doing. So to the extent that any people that you're referring to want to contribute to rebuilding the Medicare system, then of course I'm absolutely certain that Minister Butler will be listening to them.
Thank you, Minister. Senator Billick.
Thank you so much. My question is to the Minister representing the Minister for Health, Senator Farrell. Minister, the Pharmaceutical Benefits Scheme provides all Australians with access to affordable, essential prescription medicines. How is the Albanese government helping Australians to access cheaper medicines, including in my home state of Tasmania?
Thank you, Senator Billick. Minister Farrell.
Thank you, President, and thank you, Senator Billick. Two consecutive questions from Tasmanian senators about health in that great state. The pharmaceutical benefits system is a vital lifeline to affordable medicines for millions of Australians. Labor introduced the scheme and will continue to support it. In July 2020, we lowered the PBS safety net threshold by 25%. This means pensioners and other concession card holders will pay just $5 a week on average for all of their yearly PBS medicines. In the first 6 months of 2023, 940,000 concession card holders reached that threshold, meaning that they won't pay a single cent for their PBS medicines for the rest of the year. In fact, Australians have saved $180 million on more than $16 million of cheaper prescriptions over the period January to September 2023. 4 million has been saved on 337,000 cheaper scripts in your home state of Tasmania, Senator Billick. In the ACT, 4.5 million has been saved on 400,000 cheaper scripts. In New South Wales, 56 million has been saved on 5 million cheaper scripts. In the Northern Territory, 1 million has been saved on 100,000 cheaper scripts. In Queensland, 35 million has been saved on $3 million worth of cheaper scripts. Yeah. In Victoria, 46 million has been saved on 4 million cheaper scripts. And in my home state of South Australia, 12 million has been saved on 1 million cheaper scripts. Unlike those opposites, Labor believes in affordable medicine and easing the cost of living pressures.
Senator Billett.
Thank you for that answer, Minister. It's estimated that more than 480,000 Australians are affected with heart failure, with around 60,000 new diagnoses made every year. The Albanese government recently listed the drug Jardiance on the PBS. How will listing this medicine on the PBS impact on the lives of Australians with chronic heart failure?
Thank you, Senator Billick. Minister Farrell.
Thank you, President, and thank Senator Billick for her first supplementary question. Heart failure is a progressive, chronic disease where the heart muscle struggles to provide enough blood around the body. This leaves people fatigued, short of breath, and at increased risk of being hospitalised and dying. Until now, treatment options have been extremely limited. But on the 1st of November, a new medicine, Jardiance, was added to the PBS, with around 98,000 Australians expected to benefit. Together with standard care, this new treatment is expected to reduce the risk of hospitalisation for heart failure and cardiovascular death. Concession patients will pay just $7.30 and general patients $30 for this new treatment. This is all part of our government's commitment to make medicines cheaper.
Thank you, Minister. Senator Billick, second supplementary.
Once again, thank you for that answer, Minister. Around 20,000 Australian women are diagnosed with breast cancer each year. Recently, the Albanese government listed Enhertu on the PBS. How will listing this drug on the PBS help Australian women living with breast cancer?
Thank you, Senator Billick. Minister Farrell.
Thank you, President, and I thank Senator Billick for her second supplementary question. Around 20,000 Australian women are diagnosed with breast cancer each year. Around 1 in 5 of these women are diagnosed with metastatic cancer, an aggressive form of cancer. On the 1st of November, the government listed a new drug, Enhertu, on the PBS to treat patients who have been diagnosed with metastatic cancer. Around 580 Australians are expected to benefit from this listing each year, who, without a subsidy, might pay more than $425,000 per course for the treatment. The PBS listing that eligible patients will pay a maximum of $30 per script or just $7.30 with a concession card. The listing of...
Thank you, Minister. The time for answering has expired. Senator Rustin.
President, my question is to the Minister representing the Minister for Aged Care, Senator Farrell. It was reported this week that a further 16 residential aged care facilities have been forced to close over the last 4 months. This means that at least 47 aged care facilities have shut down since September last year as a result of the rigid requirements for staffing your government has imposed on the sector amid serious workforce crisis. Minister, how many more aged care facilities have to close down and residents forced out of their homes before the Albanese takes action to support the sector, including expanding the exemption criteria for these staffing requirements?
Thank you. Order across the chamber. Order. Order. Minister Farrell.
Thank you, President, and thank you, Senator Rustin, for her, her question. Well, I start by completely rejecting the proposition that you're suggesting that this government is not doing anything in respect of the aged care. We came like so many issues that this government inherited from the previous government. And Senator Colbeck's looking very sad over there because you'll remember all this. You'll remember all of this, Senator Colbeck. The neglect. What was the one word that we remembered from your period in government was the word neglect in this space. Now, we are putting dignity and we are putting dignity and respect at the Centre for Aged Care for both residents and workers. Residents and workers. And can I say this to you, Senator Rustin?
Order.
One of the first acts.
Minister, please resume your seat. Senator Rustin.
Your point of clarification is whether the minister just referred to me as dear Senator Rustin.
I have no idea, Senator Rustin, but
draw.
I will certainly ask him to withdraw. But before I do that, Senator Polly, I expect there to be silence in the chamber. Minister, I invite you to withdraw if you made those comments.
Look, I don't recall calling Senator Rustin dear, and if I did, it must have been a mispronunciation.
Senator Farrell, if you made the comment,
withdraw. I will withdraw if that's what I've said.
Thank you. Please continue.
What I've said. I'm very happy not to call Senator Rustin dear anymore.
Senator Scar.
Now. Can I point this out to you, Senator Rustin? The Albanese government has already invested $11.3 billion for 15% award wage increases for aged care workers, the largest ever increase for aged care workers. So,
Minister Farrell, Senator Rustin.
Minister, research has found.
Senator, why are you on your feet? Oh, I'm sorry. I beg your pardon. Sorry. I thought you were on a point of order. I'm very sincerely sorry. Please ask your first supplementary.
Through you, Chair. Minister, research has found that Australia is facing a shortfall of 16,000 registered nurses and 25,000 allied health workers in the aged care sector by 2033. This comes at a time when your government has brought forward additional requirements for aged care staffing. Can you guarantee that no more aged care homes will be forced to close as a result of your government's actions?
Thank you, Senator Rustin. Order across the chamber, particularly on my right. If you have so much to say, find a space elsewhere on the Senate timetable. Minister Farrell.
Thank you, President. And can I thank Senator Rustin for her first supplementary question? Well, you've got a cheek, Senator Rustin, asking that question because you know, when did these shortages start? They started under your government. And like so many things that we've inherited from the former government, we're left with the problem of fixing it up. Now, one way, one way, One way we can fix this problem is increasing the status of work in this very important area. And how have we done that? Well, we've said to the workers in this industry, we're going to give you a wage rise. Now, hopefully that will start the process of restoring the status of workers in this industry and giving them a fair deal.
Thank you, Minister. Senator Rustin, second supplementary.
It's also been reported this week that significant challenges faced by the sector under your government has resulted in an overall reduction in aged care beds of 325 over the last 4 months. This is happening at a time as demand for aged care is expected to increase, with the Minister herself saying, consistently warning that the boomers are coming. Minister, can you guarantee that aged care places will not continue to decrease under your government?
Thank you. Before I call the minister, I would ask for silence in the chamber. Minister Farrell.
Thank you, President. Senator McKenzie, I can't be the only boomer in this room. Surely there must be some other boomers still around the place. But this government is not just looking after boomers in aged cares. We're going to be a government for so long that we'll be even looking after the Gen Z, the millennials, and we are going to restore this industry. We're going to restore this industry. And on that note, I would request that further questions be put on the notice plate.
Thank you, Senator Farrell.